for the delay. We got along without computers for centuries, but now if I have one that's down for a few minutes.
When they don't want to work, right? Good morning, Your Honors. Ellen Reno for the appellant, Renard Evans, and with me is Richard Swick, my partner. We're here today because the court, in two different rounds of summary judgment, denied the plaintiff her right to go to a jury. And the reason I say she denied it is because the record is fraught with contradictions on both of the summary judgment grants. There were two positions at issue. The first one I'll talk about is the lead developmental disabilities specialist. That position Ms. Evans competed for. There was a panel. She was selected. And then the position, as the government puts it, died an administrative death. The question, though, in this case, and the question for a jury, is why wasn't she permitted to fill that position?
Slow down. The question is whether there's evidence that the positions not being created was the result of discrimination, right?
Yeah, well, the question is whether a jury could find from the evidence that there was race discrimination in the decision not to put her into the position. And the evidence of that, there is strong evidence of pretext. The first reason that was given was that hiring controls prohibited her placement, that she could not get into the position because of hiring controls. Well, when we showed that there was a path, that the hiring controls just meant that the commissioner needed to ask permission, because she testified about that, and also the memos themselves with regards to the hiring controls show there's a path. Once we show that their first answer was incorrect, because their first answer was that she could not be placed in the position. If you look at the attachment A to our brief, you'll see the letter to Ms. Evans from the deputy secretary that says ACF was under department and agency hiring controls and the position could not be filled. It doesn't say there were restrictions and we needed to go around them. It says the position could not be filled. Later in the letter, it says that although ADD recommended your selection, the PSC, that's the personnel folks, could not make you a formal job offer because of the hiring controls. So they led Ms. Evans down a path of thinking, well, it's the hiring controls that prevented. Then she figures out that there's a way around the hiring controls.
Isn't it quite common for people in ordinary parlance to say something can't be done when, in fact, it is true that it can't be done unless various steps are taken? I mean, it's doubtless a crude oversimplification that no judge would ever do, but ordinary people do all the time.
I wouldn't say that people do that all the time. I think that, by and large, people mean what they say, and in this case, it's for a jury to decide when they see the testimony that and the actual letter. There's also a letter to a senator, to Ms. Evans's senator, that says she could not be placed in the position. Here they're tasked with giving an explanation, and so you would think that when they give it, they would be careful about giving it. But what they actually do is they try to cover up why the decision was made.
You're saying that every unnuanced statement of an issue is necessarily an attempt to cover up?
No, I'm saying they led her down the path of looking at the hiring controls, when the fact is that there were three white employees who were promoted by Commissioner Morrissey at that time because the hiring controls did not prevent. And even when they answered the union, when her union rep said what promotions have been made under the freeze, because they knew about one, when they answered, they gave promotions that did not include the three white employees in ADD. And that's in the appendix. There's emails back and forth between the union rep and personnel, and then they attach what they purport to be the promotions that that were made. The data is wrong. It says 2001, but there are 2002 promotions. And the promotions do not include three white employees that were promoted. So I think there's an effort, or at least a jury could find, that there is an effort to obfuscate the truth. Also, the evidence is overwhelming that it was Commissioner Morrissey who made the decision to cancel the position, who decided this is not what I want.
What is the overwhelming evidence of that?
Because it
seems to me that it's very hard to identify any decision maker, and it appears more that there's an absence of an affirmative decision.
Well, that's the government's argument, Your Honor, but there is evidence. Reginald Wells testifies.
Is this point you're making important to your case?
Yes.
It is?
Yes, because it shows pretext. It shows pretext that Commissioner Morrissey is denying that she was involved. Mm-hmm. And so then the jury is left to think, why is she denying she was involved? Reginald Wells says that she was involved.
I thought your pretext came from the fact that while the agency said there was a freeze, they were in fact hiring whites.
Yes, that's part of it. That's part of it. But because they shift reasons after that, and they say, well, it needed a champion. It needed someone to go around the hiring controls. That's their second explanation. And so the question for me then becomes, well, why didn't she have a champion? And Morrissey says it wasn't her decision to make. That decision was made for her. But there's evidence from Reginald.
Let's get back to that. What is the evidence of Morrissey as the or
one
a principal decision maker?
The evidence is well, first in the letter to Ms. Evans, it says that ADD management elected not to fill the position.
It doesn't identify anybody.
It doesn't identify anybody, but ADD management is Commissioner Morrissey. Commissioner Morrissey is the commissioner of ADD. For her to say she didn't
sense that the head of something is in some sense responsible for everything that happens, but it's that does not identify.
Well, there's no evidence that anyone else in ADD.
But you said there's testimony by Reggie Wells, and where is that testimony?
The testimony by Reggie Wells is Joint Appendix 144 is one place where he says it.
And what's he say there?
He says that initially, well, first he answers that Morrissey was part of the decision, and then the question is,
are you talking about lines 9 to 13?
Yes. The decision
was. Once she came on board, it was presented to her, she did not see any interest in it. I mean, that seems quite consistent with the government's.
But it's
current
not
position that nobody was pushing this.
It's not consistent, or at least a jury could see it's not consistent with Commissioner Morrissey saying the positions were taken from me. I had no choice.
If you read the rest of that page, and he's flatly asked, so did Morrissey actually make the decision to not fill any of the 14 positions, or was it Gersten? Well, I believe it started with Gersten, and it was supported by Morrissey when she arrived. How did Morrissey indicate she supported that? Just through conversation. At that point, it was held in abeyance, and she really didn't have to do anything except express that interest. So all that really tells us, leaves us without a very identifiable decision maker.
No, it doesn't.
That's your strongest evidence that she was responsible for the decision. It isn't very strong.
Well, the evidence is not necessarily that she was responsible for the decision, but that she had some say. Because when she's asked the question, she says she didn't know anything about it. She doesn't even, you know, wasn't even told that she had the position. She was told that they were taken from her.
Back to the question at which Judge Tatel, too, which Judge Tatel alluded, do you have to win on this point to win this issue?
No, I don't think so, because I think they also contradict themselves in the reasons, not just who made the decision, but, you know, they're saying hiring controls. They say that the position could not be filled, and the fact is the hiring controls were just controls. They weren't prohibitions. And there was a path, and Commissioner Morrissey talks about the path in her deposition where all she had to do was send a memo with a justification for why you need that position and then have a decision block at the bottom. And every position that she wanted for a white person, because there were only three white people that she promoted during this time, every position the assistant secretary approved.
So is that also true for Ms. Powell?
Now, well, Ms. Powell is an interesting situation. That was after the hiring controls, and Ms. Powell was ultimately forced out of her position. And
let's stick with what's going on in 2001, 2002, right? She gets hired as acting deputy commissioner, which sounds like a good position.
I'm sorry, who?
She gets hired as acting deputy commissioner, right?
Debbie Powell? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. No?
To my knowledge, Debbie Powell has a race discrimination case against Commissioner Morrissey.
What's going on at this particular time?
I think at this particular...
Back at the time that you're talking about, the time of the decision-making process and the promotions,
she got
a promotion, right?
But it was not Commissioner Morrissey's doing that she got the promotion. I mean, that's a different case.
Who was the commissioner at that point?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what about Debbie Powell's promotion. What I know is the evidence that I presented. The defense didn't present any evidence about Debbie Powell being treated well. In fact, Debbie Powell says...
Yes, I know you want to jump forward to 2006, but it looks to me from page 230 that she is promoted in May of 2002. Now, isn't Morrissey still commissioner then?
Yes.
Okay. So Morrissey did have to do with that.
Right, and that was after the...
It's after Evans retires for the second time.
Right, so it's after the hiring controls. I'm not arguing that the evidence requires a finding of discrimination. What I'm saying is that there's evidence on both sides of
evidence
the issue.
That could go to a jury.
Right. And Debbie Powell says that Commissioner Morrissey had a racial bias. She has issues with her. Even though in this litigation the Commissioner Morrissey tries to say, well, I promoted Debbie Powell and pat herself on the back for promoting a black person, when in fact that black person says that Commissioner Morrissey treated her badly. That she tolerated race discrimination by Faith McCormick, that when she said that the black people were liars and cheaters from the hood, Commissioner Morrissey didn't do anything about it, and that, in fact, in the end, Commissioner Morrissey retaliates against Debbie Powell. So, I mean,
What's happened to that lawsuit?
It's settled. I'm sorry.
Settled?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry. It's not a case that I worked on. It is a case with our firm, but I didn't actually work on that case. I just...
Do you want to go on to the GS-15?
I'm sorry?
Do you want to go on to the GS-15?
The executive assistant position, right. Sure. Yeah. The details to the executive assistant position, not getting that is an adverse action, just as in Stewart versus Ashcroft, not getting the chief position was an adverse action, because if you, even though there's no change in pay, or there may have been no change in pay, it was a higher graded position. The level of duties was much higher. In
it
fact,
came with no more money, right?
We argue that there may have been more money because it was a higher graded position and it lasted so long that they...
But your main argument is it had higher responsibilities, right?
Well, I guess I sort of think that's a slam dunk because it is equivalent to the Stewart case.
Oh, I'm just asking you a question.
Okay, sure, yeah. Sure. The higher graded duties are she would have been the authoritative advisor to the commissioner and acted in the commissioner's place, whereas her then-current position was to the only access she had to the commissioner was through her supervisor. It's definitely a very different level of position.
At the very least, it was a resume builder.
I'm sorry?
At the very least, it was a resume builder for her, if nothing else.
Of course.
Well, is it your position that this, is it your position that this needs to go to a jury?
Yes, it needs to go to a jury.
So you think a jury could find that it's not adverse?
I guess a jury could find that. Yes, it could go to a jury.
You believe in juries. You believe in juries, right?
I do believe in juries, and the Tucholsky case is a perfect example. The Tucholsky versus LaHood has come up twice.
It's a principled answer to my question.
It's a jury issue. The pretext is also a jury issue because very late in the game, at her hearing, for the first time, Commissioner Morrissey says, well, you know, I wanted a Republican, and everybody in HHS was a Democrat. She knew
McCormick, right?
She knew McCormick
for quite a while.
She hadn't seen her for 8 or 9 years.
But is there anything undermining the proposition that she made that decision before she laid eyes on Evans or had heard of Evans?
Your Honor, I don't think that's possible. She says
what's not possible.
That she hadn't laid eyes on Evans, and that was
why is that not possible?
Well, one, that was not said until late in the game also.
How late is late in the game?
Not when the decision was made, when this was going through the administrative process.
Why would she have occasion to say, well, I haven't seen X, Y, or Z?
Asked by the investigator, did you discriminate against Ms. Evans, she could have said, well, I didn't even know that she was black.
She did give the account of why she picked McCormick, right?
Right, but if it's true.
And she hasn't changed on that, right?
She has changed on that. At the hearing for the first time, after her deposition and after giving a declaration at the hearing, she says, I wanted a Republican. That's why I wanted McCormick.
That's the first time she made that statement.
That's the first time, and it's 4 years after she made the decision. And she didn't. She had a chance in her deposition to explain. She had a chance in her affidavit to explain. She never mentioned political affiliation before that. In fact, political affiliation is not even allowed in these situations.
How much do you need this argument, given your argument about that both agency regulations and the collective bargaining required that this position be competed?
I don't know. I always make all the pretext arguments I can.
I thought you described this as pretext.
I'm saying there's sort of three avenues of pretext, and you're asking me, do I need this argument?
Yeah,
I don't think I need it. I think standing on its own, the fact that it can't be a legitimate reason.
But you think that's stronger than your other arguments? I mean, your position is, right, that agency regulations required this to be a competitive position. Didn't
right.
Isn't that your position? And it wasn't, right?
I'm sorry?
And they didn't do it competitively, correct?
No, they didn't do it competitively. She just brought her friend along.
Right.
Her friend who, she says she wanted a
What am I missing? Why don't you like that argument? I got it out of your brief.
Why don't I like that argument?
Yeah. What am I missing here?
With which argument?
The one about that the position under agency regs should have been competed. Why are you balking at my question about?
I think that there are cases that I've lost with that argument.
Oh really? Which ones?
Where not that particular argument, but just generally, like they can go outside the guidelines and not be racist. Of course, that's not even the issue you're supposed to be deciding.
You don't have to have a decision that it is racist. All you have to have at this point
is a jury.
A decision that there is evidence from which a finder of fact could find.
Yes, of course.
Why don't you just accept Judge Tatel's argument and smile? And
I'll accept your argument, Judge Tatel.
Well, I mean, I don't make arguments. I read your brief as saying there were several bases for pretext, and that was one of them. And you seem resistant to my wondering why you don't think that that's enough. Now, you tell me you've lost some cases on the subject, but I didn't see them in the briefs.
Well, I don't think I. they wouldn't be appellate cases. But I think the court has said— Maybe you shouldn't
have lost those cases.
I probably shouldn't have lost those. But you lose some cases you shouldn't lose. Sure. I think that the case law says that it's evidence of discrimination when an agency fails to follow its regulations.
That's what the chief judge just asked you. That's all you need to make at this point.
Okay.
Right? We're not a jury.
There you go. There's one other piece of evidence I want to mention. Yeah.
You got about a minute to mention.
Sure.
Way over your time.
Can we just go back? What does competitive status—
We'll give you a minute when you get through answering, Judge Wade.
Okay.
What does competitive status required, mean in the statement of the executive assistant position? 355 of the joint appendix.
That's the permanent position.
Competition is required for the detailing, but not for the permanent position?
It was competed. The permanent position was competed. I'm not sure what competitive status required no means. Career status. I'm not sure what that means. I think the U.S. attorney might be better able to answer you, but it doesn't have to do with whether you have to be competed or not, because it says no when it was competed. The permanent position was competed. She was the selectee was acting in the position already. She was the only person that applied, but it was through a vacancy announcement, as you see here. That has something that doesn't have to do with a competition for the position. But the other piece of evidence that I did want to mention was, in addition to Debbie Powell accusing Commissioner Morrissey of tolerating Faith McCormick's discriminatory and racial statements, she joined Faith McCormick in calling black people in the office, the black women in the office, those sisters in a very derisive manner. And so I think that, combined with the evidence of pretext, is more than sufficient for a jury to find that the other two—
We have talked you well past your allotted time.
Yes, I'm done.
My colleagues have further questions.
Okay.
We'll let you sit down. If you need it, we'll give you back a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll hear from the appellee.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Alan Birch for the United States. If I could turn first to the lead position, the GS-14 LDDS position. I think there are two main points I want to make. The first is the consistency of the agency's explanation, and the second is the legal standard by which that should be analyzed. The government's position, the agency's position, has not shifted over time, but it has always relied on the hiring controls. The worst you could say of the government's explanation is that it did not fully recapture in detail what the hiring controls meant.
It didn't do what?
It did not restate the details of the hiring controls.
It went from a freeze to a control that was different.
Yes, freeze,
evolved,
control,
right?
That they were used.
Well, what do you do about the evidence that, notwithstanding whatever it was, they did promote three white people?
Well, that gets to my second argument, uh-huh. Which is that the legal standard is not the Nurin comparator standard.
It's not what?
It's not the standard under Nurin where you use different people that are treated differently because they had different races to draw an inference of discrimination on the basis of the different treatment. That is not their theory. They disclaimed it in their brief.
Well, they're not. They're only using the evidence to show, at least to argue, that the claim freeze was pretext, not that not that similarly situated people were hired.
Right. Their argument is that the agency's explanation is inconsistent on its face because the agency's explanation was it's a freeze, no one gets through, oh, but people got through. Yeah. And it starts from an incorrect premise.
Which is?
That the incorrect premise is that no one can get through the freeze. That was never the agency's explanation. The agency's explanation always made reference to the hiring controls.
Well,
as I said, perhaps
just,
the worst you could
just,
say about
it. But even if it's just controls,
the controls
point is that
defined.
Whites got through the controls and two blacks didn't.
But, Your Honor, the point is not that they were black. It's that they got through at all. That's the legal standard that they explicitly rely on is the Chikalsky standard for for a shifting explanation, an explanation that has shifted so much that it is inconsistent. And the example in Joukowsky is a typical one.
That's one of their theories, but their others is that whatever you call it, control or freeze, whites were able to get through, but African Americans were not.
They're not in comparable situations, so you cannot...
It doesn't make any difference under that theory.
If I could finish, Your Honor, I'm making 2 points. The first is that you cannot draw...
Well, you can finish if you'd answer my question. I still don't understand your argument about why, even if you're right about the changing rationale, that it went from being freeze to control, I still haven't understood your argument as to why the evidence that whites were able to be hired and blacks wasn't isn't sufficient, at least for jury, to question the rationale. That's what you haven't answered for me. You can say whatever you want.
You might
try to answer the question.
I am trying to answer the question, Your Honor. I believe I'm answering it in two ways at the same time. Uh-huh. First on the factual and second on the legal standard. Right. The legal standard is, has the reason shifted?
Okay.
That's the legal standard under Joukowsky.
You're not responding to my question. Maybe my colleagues have a question. Go ahead. You can say whatever you want. You're not answering my question. I was asking.
The fact that they were of different races can raise an inference of discrimination if they're in similarly situated circumstances.
Look, if you want to win your case, you might want to answer the question. And I built into my question, accepting your argument, that the rationale was changing because it went from a freeze to a control. I was accepting your point about that asking you a next question.
Okay.
Which is, even if you're right about that, why couldn't a jury conclude from the fact that whites were hired notwithstanding the controls and an African-American wasn't? Why couldn't a jury infer discrimination from
that? I see.
That's my question.
Because
you care to answer?
Because there's no evidence that they were in similarly situated circumstances.
Yeah, or why couldn't a jury be the right place to decide whether there is enough evidence or some evidence of that rather than at the summary judgment stage?
Because they haven't presented evidence to support that they were...
Wouldn't it be logical, if that's your position, that you would have come forward with the evidence that they were not similarly situated? They have shown that they were at least in some sense similarly situated. They were employed by the same agency. They were seeking promotion at the same time. Now, that may not be enough, but if that's what's before the court at the time, why shouldn't the court have said, all right, that'll get them to the jury. Now, if they're not similarly situated, you can show that to the jury.
Because it was not our burden, Your Honor. The main point is that...
Did you hear me refer to the fact that they had shown that they worked for the same agency? Did you hear that? Did I not say that?
I'm afraid I was still processing it.
They were working in the same place for the same employer.
Right.
Under the same decision makers. And they got through, right?
Is that
not right?
It's not clear that they all worked for Morrissey. And it's not clear that Morrissey was the one who pushed them through.
Forget the part about Morrissey pushing
them.
And
it's not clear that they had the same or similar.
What do we know about the people who got the promotions?
Very little.
Where did they work?
They worked in the broadly the same agency.
All right.
When you say agency, you mean what?
My understanding is that they worked in the same unit that was a broader unit than... let me look at my brief.
They're at the same unit.
No, the one level above from the same unit.
Was the level above Morrissey? Or what? I think it's important.
Yes, that they were in the ADD.
In the ADD.
Right.
Morrissey was head of ADD, right? She was commissioner, right?
ADD had a freeze / control.
Yeah. Okay. And this was in the same general time frame, right?
Yes.
All right. Why isn't that enough similarly situated evidence to get them past summary judgment?
Because it's not the same job, and it's not the same job need.
That sounds like a good jury argument. A good jury argument. Maybe you should make that to the jury if this goes back for trial.
Your Honor, it's their burden to show that they can raise the inference of discrimination if they're going to rely on the Nuren theory. That's not their theory. Their theory
is... You're never going to have precisely the same job. They're never going to have precisely the same job, or it would be a disparate treatment case then. I mean, a direct evidence case, excuse me, then.
But
if it's a different job, there's always going to be some differences.
Of course, Your Honor.
So why isn't the similarity of the situation, or in your view, the dissimilarity, something for the jury to resolve rather than to go forward at summary judgment where you've presented no evidence from which the court could conclude that?
Because it's fundamentally the plaintiff's burden to come forward with evidence to support an inference.
Which they did, yeah.
Not with respect to the judge.
So let me see if I understand the government's position. Can I see if I understand? So your position is that if there's a freeze and yet whites are hired by the same agency notwithstanding the freeze, the plaintiffs can only prevail by showing that the jobs those whites were hired into were similar to the job that the plaintiff was seeking? Is that your position?
I don't know that I need to take a position because that's not the theory that they're riding on, Your Honor.
You want to tell me whether that's your position or not? Or do you prefer not to answer the question?
Well, in this case, I don't have to win that point to win the case. Because their theory in their reply is very plain that they rely on Chikalsky and shifting explanations. The agency's explanation has always taken into account that the hiring controls evolved over time. What started out as a freeze in the colloquial expression was the initial memos from the president in January and the secretary in February, which said that you needed to get the approval of the secretary himself. Then in October, that was relaxed slightly in that Mr. Sontag in the HHS's administrative unit, you needed to go through him. But then the very next month in November, it was relaxed considerably so that Mr. Horn's approval was now necessary. And he was at much lower level than the secretary's office. The agency's position has always been that these controls evolved over time. So there's no inconsistency in saying that there was a freeze in the colloquial sense initially and that it changed later in the fall so that lower level approval was required. So there cannot be any inconsistency in that change in position because that was the change in the circumstance. Now, the other thing that is going on is that there's no evidence that the situation with respect to these evolving controls was explained differently or that they were on their face illogical or atypical for a change in administration. The letters that that Evans relies on in her brief, though, that appear at the, I think it's J.A. 373, the letter to Evans, which has similar language to the letter to Senator Sarbanes. And this is where she says, the agency had took an imposition because we said the position could not be filled. The very same letter explains that management elected to cancel the position. And the very same letter referred explicitly to the hiring controls. Now, as I said earlier, you could fault the letter for not repeating precisely what those controls were, but that is far from meeting the standard under Chikalsky of presenting an explanation that shifts over time. The agency's explanation was consistent over time. Higher level approval was necessary, at first by the secretary, later from Mr. Sontag for a brief period of time, and then Mr. Horn. That explanation has never varied. And the explanation provided in the letter to Evans and to Senator Sarbanes is perfectly consistent with that. There's no, you could not fault that for being a shifting position, certainly not one that shifted to the point that it would meet the standard in Chikalsky of being so substantively different that the jury would be entitled to disbelieve everything that the agency says on the point. Now, with respect to the race, issue. Again, that's not their theory, Judge Tatel. They don't rely on that. They explicitly in their brief, they back away from that. They say we're not making a case under Norin of using comparators. So with respect to the explanation, there's nothing that would satisfy this court's standards under Chikalsky or Salazar of shifting explanations. Indeed, most of those explanations that have been found to be shifting are situations where either the explanation is withdrawn, as in Salazar and Chikalski, in the face of contradictory evidence, or it just reaches out to something of a vastly different subject matter. Oh, you know, something that is just totally different. Here, the agency's explanation always was rooted in the hiring controls. Those hiring controls evolved over time. That evolution does not make the explanation inconsistent. That's the fundamental position of the government on that. The with respect to the detail position, the biggest single fact that Evans cannot overcome is that she has not put any evidence to show that Morrissey, at the time she made the decision, knew Evans or Evans' race.
Are you conceding by making that argument first that that it was adverse?
No, not at all, Your Honor.
We you want to say something about positions. That?
Yes, the reason it was not adverse was because under Morrissey's understanding of her marching orders with respect to staffing a position, consistent with the hiring controls, she would need to put somebody in the position at her current pay rate. And so the pay would not have changed. Mm-hmm. And
what about the responsibilities?
Excuse me?
What about the responsibilities?
The responsibility, she would need to do more than simply express an opinion that this was resume building. She would need to have some...
Well, she has a job description which says she'll be the face of the commissioner and will represent the commissioner at meetings, and it's a completely different job, isn't it? At least couldn't a jury conclude that?
She would need to tie some evidence to... You need to have something other than speculation that it would help her.
Didn't I just cite the job description?
But, well...
Yeah, well, why isn't that enough to get her past summary judgment on that issue?
Well, because she's using it as a resume building thing, as to get a better job, but she doesn't connect that job description to the likelihood to get another job or to do anything different. But the fundamental...
What's your answer to Ms. Renaud's argument that the 4 months after her initial explanation, she introduced the issue of McCormick's being Republican?
I'm sorry, the Republican?
Yeah.
Right.
The first of all, she said, I'm coming in with a Republican administration, and I presume they are Democrats. So she never said, I'm a Republican. She never said, I am a Republican or I'm looking for a Republican. Okay, so I think the theory that this is violating the law, I think, is already right. Gone on the evidence. But more importantly, this fits within her explanation all along, which was, I was looking for a confidant. And that's, she's explaining why she was looking for a confidant. It's not a new explanation. It's a further explication of the old reason. It's not shifting. It's simply more detailed.
Okay. Unless my colleagues have further questions, we've pushed past your time as well. Thank you, counsel.
Ask the court to affirm. Thank you.
We'll give the appellant back 2 minutes for rebuttal if you need it.
Your Honors, I just I do want to point out that the three white employees that Commissioner Morrissey did memos for and got approval for are listed on Joint Appendix 376, and you can tell actually the heading of this is Administration on Developmental Disabilities. These are three whites that were promoted in ADD by through the roundabout way of going around the hiring controls. And these were not disclosed to Ms. Evans when the personnel initially sent her the list of people who were hired during the hiring freeze. They omitted all three of these white employees.
I'm sorry, so where is that list?
372, and it's attached to an email. Now the date on it says March 15, 2001, but that's a mistake because you can see from when some of the positions were approved. One of them's actually in 2002.
Do we have the ethnicity of the ethnicity of all these people?
I don't believe that was disclosed to us, Your Honor, but these are all people outside of ADD. So I'm not sure that would be relevant. The reason we were putting forth this chart was to show that they were not telling us about the three people in ADD. These people are not in ADD. Okay, so they had nothing, Commissioner Morrissey had nothing to do with these folks. So for me, it was a red herring for the union to say, look at this list of people who were promoted and it's no one in ADD. Again,
there were three ADD promotions that were not included.
Right. There were actually three. And she knew of one, so she knew that they weren't being completely honest here.
Well, there was no secret about McCormick, right?
There
was never any secret about McCormick, right?
Well, at that time...
Not to characterize this as secrecy, but McCormick was well known, right?
She was only on a detail at the time. She was on a detail, and nobody knew when she was hired that she had been hired. I don't know if that's in the record, though, Your Honor. I know that my client has told me that people didn't know what Ms. McCormick was doing in the office when she first came.
I mean, they didn't know her exact status.
Yeah, they weren't. Yeah.
But she. The letter to Senator Sarbanes. What precisely is the inaccuracy in that?
What's the accuracy?
What is inaccurate?
What is inaccurate? Mrs. Evans could not be placed in the position because ACF was under departmental and agency hiring controls, and the position could not be filled. That's inaccurate.
Right. That's inaccurate because it doesn't have the qualification. Could be filled first with the approval of the secretary, later with the approval of Sontag, later with the approval of Horn, right?
Right.
So it doesn't have that qualification.
Right.
And then it says the ADD subsequently elected to cancel the vacancy announcement. That is correct, right?
Well, according to the government, according to Commissioner Morrissey, it wasn't ADD that elected to cancel the vacancy announcement. It was up above. It was the assistant secretary. It was Wade Horn who did it, not ADD. So that's inaccurate as well.
This reminds me of my time drafting note agreements. Absolutely every word counted. You had to anticipate the loan being litigated 50 years later.
Right, and I think when someone has filed an EEO complaint and you're writing to their senator that you might want to be careful with your words as well. That's what I think. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what a jury thinks.
A jury could think.
Could think that this is contradictory. It's not the only place that they say ADD management was responsible for the decision. Leola Brooks, the person who actually signed the cancellation, said that it was the commissioner's decision. She says that in her affidavit, and that's at Joint Appendix 200. So I think there is evidence that they point to ADD management, but Commissioner Morrissey tries to extricate herself from any accusations by saying, not only did she not have anything to do with it, it wasn't even presented to her. And then you have Wells saying it was presented to her and she agreed with the decision. So I think, Your Honors, the point here is that there are issues of fact that a jury needs to look at. And it's not my decision and it's certainly not the government's decision.
We've got it past your allotted time one more time.
And thank you.
My colleagues have further questions. The case will be submitted. Thank you.